this whole service has been, is being, will be about seeing God in places that most other people don't see him. Here's a picture. This picture is called Trooper on Guard, and it was painted by Frank Tenney Johnson. How many of you have recognized this picture? Yeah, me either. And most people, this picture hung in a local county office in Massachusetts for decades. It hung in some back office of some local county in Massachusetts for decades. Until one day this lady walked through the office. See, it didn't have this, what you see on the right side, that wasn't there. It was just the picture. And this lady walked by and said, "Is that a Frank Tenney Johnson painting?" And it sparked an idea with someone. Maybe I should investigate this. And they investigated this painting. Come to find out, this is an original Frank Tenney Johnson, which I don't know him except that he's famous, I guess. And it's kind of blotchy painting, but I guess a lot of people really like it. Come to find out, as of last year, this painting is worth $375,000. And it was hanging in some back office in just a county. So this lady donated this office years, is in the 50s, I think. She donated this painting. She had it. She just like, "Here, you can hang this in your office." And years and years and years went by. People walked by this painting every day. Until one day, this lady said, "I think I recognize that." This next picture is pretty interesting. That's an old picture. And most of us would not have any idea what we're looking at besides an old picture. What happened here is this guy in California was at this thrift store and bought a box of goodies for $2. And it had this is a tin type print, so there's a piece of metal, a tin, that this picture is painted on. He bought it and everything else in there for $2. This guy took this home and he thought, "This picture's pretty interesting." And he got to digging and looking, pulled out his little magnifying glass, and this next slide will show us what he found. He magnified this picture and found out that there's a guy standing there playing croquet. And he thought, "That looks familiar." Come to find out, that's Billy the Kid. This is the second of two pictures of Billy the Kid. This is the second one. This guy in California bought this box of goodies and somehow figured out that that's Billy the Kid. And there are only two pictures in the world of him. This is the second one. This thing's worth $5 million is what the value is on right now. So he spent $2 and he has something worth $5 million. I would have walked right past, well, I'll tell you what, really, I might have bought it because it looks cool. But when I bought it, what I would have done would have been brought it home and say, "Hey, look at this cool old picture." And then we might have stuck it on the shelf somewhere. I never would have looked for Billy the Kid. And walking past that other picture, I never would have thought, "Oh, that's Frank Tenney Johnson." But now I'm getting the point, actually what I would have done, and I do this sometimes when I'm at thrift stores, if I see a painting is original, like it really has paint on it, sometimes I just get my phone out and I Google the artist because I've heard of stuff like this happening. So I do that sometimes. I wouldn't have known this. The interesting thing is that the two people that found the painting and then this picture, they did not find these things by luck because hundreds of people had walked past the picture and this of the painting. This little tintype picture had passed through hundreds of hands. But a trained eye walked past the Frank Tenney Johnson picture. And a trained eye found this tintype of Billy the Kid. somebody who was educated and was looking found something very valuable. We're going to take a look at Luke chapter 2 today. And what we're going to see is a man named Simeon who found something that no one else saw. It wasn't by accident. He saw something that no one else saw. And here's the main idea, I guess the main purpose. What I want you to see today is that when we are committed to serving God, we can learn to recognize God even in things that look insignificant to other people. What I want to train myself to do is to keep my confidence and my commitment to serving God long enough to find the jackpot. Am I willing to continue serving God and being committed to Him? Will I serve God long enough to let Him do His work? And when He does His work, have I been persistent enough to recognize it? That's what we're going to look at. Today in Luke chapter 2, if you have a Bible in front of you, if you want to follow along, Luke is one of the four guys at the beginning of the New Testament. There's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And this is the story about little baby Jesus. So what's happened up to this point happened last week. The angels came, Gloria. They sing all that. Some people say in excelsis, and it's actually in excelsis Deo. I don't know. All of that happened. Little baby Jesus in the manger. Shepherds came. And then Mary had this, the prescribed time of being kind of separated was 40 days. So you have a baby, everything's all a bloody mess. So you have 40 days of kind of isolation so you don't get infections, really, is what it is. Keep her away from everybody. And after the 40 days was up, here's what happens, okay? So Jesus and Mary and Joseph have been kind of disconnected for 40 days, and we're going to read Luke chapter 2. We're going to start at verse 21. It says, And when the 8 days had passed before his circumcision, his name was then called Jesus, or Joshua, or Yeshua. Jesus' name is actually Joshua. Did you know that? That's what it really is. It's Joshua. We translate it to Jesus, so we read it special. But it's Joshua, the deliverer, which is the name given by the angel before he was conceived. And when the days for their purification, according to the law of Moses, were completed, that was the 40 days, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male that opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and offer sacrifice according to what was said in the law of the Lord. So their sacrifice was either a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Here's where it gets interesting. So Mary and Joseph are bringing Jesus into the temple to offer their sacrifices, and there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was a righteous and devout, he was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was on him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to carry out for the custom of the law, then he took him into his arms. So Simeon took Jesus into his arms and blessed God and said, Now, Lord, you are releasing your bondservant to depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all people, a light of revelation to Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. There's a lot of good stuff in there. So, quick recap. What happened? Mary and Joseph brought Jesus into the temple. And when they brought Jesus into the temple, this other man named Simeon, who was most likely very old, also just happened to be at the temple at the same time. No, I don't really mean that. I say that. Sometimes I'm a little sarcastic, but he was there because he always came to the temple. And it says he was looking for, he was a righteous man, a devout man who was looking for the Messiah. And it just so happens when Mary and Joseph were walking in to bring Jesus to the temple, this old man walks up to them and says, "Now I can die in peace." So if you were Mary and Joseph, most likely what would for us, it would be weird if a stranger walked up to us and said, "Can I hold your baby? This is the promised child." And you're like, "Crazy, back up before I do what needs to be done." Okay? Mary and Joseph didn't do that. And it might have caught her, this is speculation, but remember, an angel came to Mary and said, "You're going to have a baby." And she's like, "But I've never been with a guy." And she's like, "You're going to have a baby." And then Mary got pregnant and had this baby, and there were like angels, and then these people showed up. So when this old guy walks up to Mary and says, "Now I can die in peace because the Messiah has come," most likely Mary was like, "I wonder how he knows." She probably didn't think, "That crazy old bat." She was probably thinking, "How does he know?" Because Mary knew. God made a promise. God is working it out. But this old guy comes up. And the Bible tells us how he knew. It says a few things. It says that he was a righteous man. What that means is Simeon was in a right relationship with God. The conditions of their relationship were right. That's what righteous means. The very beginning of the word is right, correct. I understand, or Simeon understood, God is the creator of the universe. I am his child, and I am here to obey the creator of the universe. That's what it means to have a righteous relationship. I understand who you are. I understand who I am. It also says Simeon was devoted. And in that word devoted, we also have the word, we have the word devout. When you think of devout, you mean somebody who's really committed to it. Like, they know all of the rules, they follow the rules, they have, like, so we like Mary Kay. We like Mary Kay. It's a good product. We just can't sell it because we have a hard time selling things for profit. So Carissa sold Mary Kay for a while. It was really just everybody gets the discount. Tell me what you want. She was really committed to Mary Kay. Maybe you know somebody who is a devout Mary Kay. They might even have the pink Cadillac, plush velvet seats. So if you know somebody with a pink Cadillac, I know people. And I think if they're kind of devout, it borderlines obnoxious because everything is Mary Kay. Simeon might not have been obnoxious, but his whole life was, what does God's law say? What does my life look like? And how can I bring my life to mirror God's law? That's what devout means. So righteous is, I understand who you are. I recognize who I am. I believe you are the creator of the universe. Devout is the next step, which says, I am going to arrange my life so that I actively pursue to know what you want, and I will be persistent in making my life become what you want. That's what devout means. I'm all about it. And it says that he was looking. So he knew who God was. He was doing all of the thing. He was doing everything he knew to do to become who God wanted him to be. And he was anticipating that God was going to answer. and he was filled with the Holy Spirit. Which is not a side note. Seems like Simeon has a lot going on here. He had all of those things, and he looked to God for the source of his life. He did not look to himself. Do I have the strength to do this? Can I do this in my own power? Simeon had God as his source of life. So when we put this package together, we see a man whose life revolved around, where is God going to show up? That's what everything was about Simeon. He was waiting for God to fulfill a promise that he made. It says that God had told Simeon, you're not going to die until you see the Messiah. God made a promise, and Simeon was old and had not yet seen the promise, but he was still looking. That's the setup for the story. It's pretty cool because then when God did show up, Simeon walked up to the baby that everyone else had walked by. When the baby showed up, he's like, there he is. Which is pretty incredible to be able to see something that everybody else sees. But sometimes I lose my patience. Here's what usually happens with Ben. God, I recognize who you are. I believe that you have created everything. You know everything. And I am going to... Now, John and I were talking about New Year's resolutions this morning. This happens sometimes around the New Year. What am I going to commit myself to? God, I recognize who you are, and I am going to become devout. I'm going to become devoted. And for a period of time, I will stick with it. Because I've had this revelation, that's a big fancy church word, I really believe that God has something for me. I really believe it. And so with that belief, I'm going to work at making my life what God wants me to be. Till about March. Then I've only lost 5 pounds. Or I never really liked running anyway, so why am I doing this? This is dumb. Or I know I should stick that in the bank, but I kind of want this anyway. Or I've been patient, and it's not getting me anywhere, so I'm done. That's what usually happens with people, normal people. We see what God wants, we make a commitment to it, and we work at it for a while. Then we realize it's not working the way I want it to, as quickly as I want it to. Obviously, God must be off somewhere else. God doesn't do it the way I want it, so I'm going to step in and fix it since God's not going to. Some quick reminders from the Bible of what happens when people step in. Remember, King Saul was the king of Israel, and the prophet had told King Saul, this is what I expect you to do. King Saul was good for a while till he got tired of waiting. Well, that's not working for me. And King Saul wanted to speed things up, so he stepped in and tried to be God, and he wasn't God, and he lost the whole kingdom. Or you might remember Abraham and Sarah. God said, I promise I'm going to bring you a child, but he didn't say when. I promise I'm going to bring you a child. And Abraham and Sarah waited and waited, and then they decided, well, God must have forgotten. He's not doing it quickly enough. Since God's not going to handle it the way I want him to handle it, I'll step in and take care of it myself. And Abraham and Sarah tried to fix it themselves, and a huge mess occurred, and we're still dealing with that mess. We do that. We know what God wants. We know that if I were to do things God's way, this is how it would happen. I would obey God, then I would wait until he brings whatever it is I know he wants into my life, and then we'll take this next step. But we get impatient, and God doesn't do it quite the way we want, or we know the right way, we just want it now instead of working toward what he wants us to have, so we try to take shortcuts. This is what I know God wants, but I'm going to take the quick route to right there, and I know God will forgive me because he always forgives us, and then we'll just go on with life. And sometimes we forget to be devoted. Simeon reminds us that when I put the pieces of my life in the right order and I stay committed to them, God trusts me. Which is different than God knowing that, God knows everything. Sometimes it's weird to talk about God like, well, God's trying to figure you out. Like, God knows who you are. God's trying to show me who I really am. And there come times in my life where I have to choose. Am I going to be devoted? Am I going to be persistent? Even when I'm not seeing the answers I want, am I going to continue looking? And most of the time, we say, I'll take the shortcut. And that's a problem. But thankfully, God is patient and merciful, and he says, all right, let's regroup. Just like every year, we come back to January the 1st, and we realize, all right, this year, we get to start over. We can make those commitments to God in our own lives, too. I know who I was, but this is who I'm going to be. And here's what happens when we become righteous, devoted, and persistent, when we continue to look. We start to see God show up when other people don't really know what's going on. Sometimes we don't even really fully recognize what's happening. Like if you've been praying and praying for something or someone that God would do something in their lives. And then if you are devoted to obeying him, sometimes God drops little clues, that if you're looking, you can catch. Like in the Bible, Simeon, who was always at the temple, this is not in the Bible, but most likely Simeon knew this guy named Zechariah and Elizabeth. So 6 months before Mary got pregnant with Jesus, John the Baptist was born. 9 months before he was born, Zechariah, John's dad, was visited by an angel. It was a year. And the angel said, you are going to have a child. This all happened in the temple. You're going to have a child. Name him John. And Zechariah said, ha, I doubt it because I'm really old and my body doesn't work anymore. And the angel said, as proof, I'm going to make you silent until the baby's born. So Zechariah, serving in the temple, came out of the temple, not able to talk. I've seen an angel, can't talk about it. Most likely Simeon was there. Speculation, but Simeon was always at the temple looking for God to show up. So what probably happened is that Simeon, like, well, that's interesting. And Simeon might have heard about the angels, because you know people talk. Herod ended up finding about Jesus being born. These little clues happened. God was working. He'd been working for years to bring Jesus to the temple at the same time Simeon came. But Simeon didn't see all the clues even. God was doing things that Simeon could not see, but he might have picked up on clues here and there. Just like in our own lives, we're praying for someone, or we're praying about something that has not happened yet, but we believe it's what God wants. And if we are committed to serving him, and we are looking for God to answer, we'll start picking up on these. Oh, I was talking to my mom the other day, and we were with people, and blah, blah, blah. You know how those things go. And so we were at home. I'll just tell you. We're at my mom and dad's house. This is recording. I'm not going to put this one on our webpage. So we were at mom's house and dad's. And mom and dad always read the Christmas story out of Luke chapter 2. But this year, before mom and dad read the Christmas story, mom had a little, hey, everybody, talk. But as mom was talking, I was like, I know what she's doing. Because I recognized the things she was saying, and I knew her heart, her desire. And because I was looking, and I was trained, I picked up on what she was doing. Huh. And I don't know what's going to come of it. But I recognize, oh, I know what's happening here. And sometimes when God is working, he will drop little clues that if we are looking for, we'll see. What I want to do is to be prepared to see the clues that God's giving me. So when God starts to finally answer, I say, oh, that's where you are. How do I do that? Well, I could do what Simeon did. First, if you have not yet, you can come to the point where you say, God, I recognize that you are the creator of the universe, and I commit to serving you. That's the first step. If you've already made that step, you're like, yep, check that off my list. I'm there. The next thing for me to do is to say, God, I am going to be devoted to you. I'm not going to be this, you know, however the wind moves me. Well, it depends on how I feel. I can become a person who says, I'm going to work to find out what you want for my life, and I'm going to devote my life to becoming that. And when I do that, then I will start looking for ways that God is at work. Because God didn't only answer Simeon's prayer that day. He answered Mary's prayer again. When Simeon walked up to Mary and said, ah, the Messiah. Mary was probably, yes. Yes, this is God's plan. Bible tells us that as Jesus grew and things were happening, it says that Mary treasured these things in her heart. Like, these clues happened to Mary, and she treasured them in her heart. And God can be dropping clues for me to see, and he can also be using me to affirm in other people's lives, this is what God is doing. If I'm committed to serving him, if I'm willing to look around and say, what's happening? God, where are you working? And that's what I want for us, all of us, myself included, is to not be a New Year's resolution kind of Christian. I don't want to just, yeah, we're going to start off and then I'm going to get tired and quit. But I want to arrange my life so that I'm faithful. The guy that found the $5 million Billy the Kid print, he had been looking for treasures. And he found one. He was a trained eye. The woman that recognized that Frank Tenney Johnson was a trained eye. She knew what to look for. I want to get my life to the point where I have trained myself to recognize where God is working. That does not happen by accident. And I hope that we, as a church, we can train ourselves, and as individuals, we can get ourselves to the point where we say, it's starting to make sense. It doesn't happen by accident, and my desire for us today is to be intentional about our relationship with God. So wherever you are, at whatever point you're at, the question to answer is, God, what's the next step? Either I need to begin by saying, please forgive me, you're the Lord of my life. Or it might be, yeah, I know who you are, now I need to commit my life to serving you. If I'm already serving you, then I need to look out, not just at myself anymore, but begin to look out and say, God, what are you doing in other people's lives that I recognize? Wherever you are this morning, the next step is the question. God, what is the next step? Am I willing to stick with it and keep looking long enough for you to show me where your treasure is? We're going to close in prayer. And as we pray, my hope is that you will ask yourself that question, and you might not get an answer today, but begin thinking, what is it that God is doing that I can keep pushing toward or keep looking for? Let's pray. Thank you, God, for giving us another opportunity, and it's my hope that you will take the verses from the Bible that we've read and the things that I've said, that you would turn them into whatever you want them to be so that you can take each one of us to the next place in our life that you want us to live. Help us, help me included, help me to be patient and persistent. And sometimes it's easy for me to get distracted. But help me to keep looking for you to show up. Help me to trust you when things aren't going the way I want them to go. Help me to be patient. And remind me to focus my life on you instead of myself. I ask you to keep working on us. And it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. Hope you have a good week. If you want to come listen to some Christmas music and take down decorations, we'll see you this evening at 6:00.